4DJC.
Jerry and 0TR.
Time, have you had your birthday lunch yet?
We just went out and measured my beverage antenna. Before that, our daughter come up from the southern part of Greer and brought us some goodies and a little birthday cake and stuff, and she actually brought two more filet mignons and a pork tenderloin. She said gift cards wouldn't do because we don't go that much, and so she brought food and some other things that you wouldn't normally buy. But Bernice and I just walked down through the timber there and measured that beverage, which I thought I'd wrote that down before, but I didn't. It's 285 foot long, which is pretty good.
Antenna. You must have a pretty good size, a lot.
Worse too. I could actually get that on the lot. It's 1.2 acres, but I got it aimed at 0.034 degrees towards Europe. And Bob in D7J that you was talking to this morning, and Rusty and Gary, W4EEY, come over and installed it and helped me to install it, and Bob did most of it, and he's an expert on those things. And I renewed it this year, but I've measured it. I always take a reading of antennas through the coax and at the antenna and write them down just in ohms, and you know, you can catch a few things that way. But the beverage is nothing more than a piece of, well, it was just fence wire, Jerry, yeah, electric fence wire, but renewed it with 14 gauge copper solid and just two little junction boxes at each end and a ground rod.
So how up do you have it?
The average is 6 or 8 feet.
Not at all, then. That's, I've heard of those, but, you know, I don't think I've ever, other than maybe in a photograph, I don't think I've ever known anybody that actually used one. Probably because of the length required, I suppose, unless they had a pretty good size lot, because that is a long antenna. But do you have to, you have to
tune
it on each end, or how do you do that?
One just goes through a 47 ohm resistor to ground. The other end has a little tiny matching transformer, which, if you take your trigger finger and touch about the, as far as you can close your finger tight, is about that big around, and it's got some wire in there that's 30 gauge wire, a couple of pieces of it that go through it, and then a ground rod, which is just a half a piece of ground rod. Real simple antennas. And I don't know how many of those things N4IQ's got, but I know he's got more than one, I'm pretty sure. And those guys in Europe, they have gazillions of them, and a lot of them's over 500 feet long. Really sure how long mine was, but that figures right in there with the wavelengths, pretty good. And it's like putting DSP on your radio when you kick that in on CW.
It is directional, then, I suppose. It does have lobes off each side, or is it just more one side? I mean, it's like a tuned long wire, I suppose, but. Does it have a lobe coming off one side of it, one end of it? Is that the way it radiates?
It doesn't radiate, Jerry. I should have told you that. It's just a passive receive antenna only. And this TS-590, the newer one I got, this SG, has a port for it on the back. And I can just touch a button, and it'll say RX, and it'll kick it in or it'll kick it out. And usually the noise level without it is above what the CW is if it's a weak signal. You kick it in and boom, there the signal is. And they just work great. Bob can tell you about it. Now, he sold some property behind his place, and I think he in some ways regrets it, in some ways he don't. But he had to take some of his down, I think. But I could run it on out there in the timber. I could put it at 500 and, well, twice that, 570 feet or whatever that figures to be. I just don't want to do it. A lot of guys will, like Bob said, they'll take a wire nut and you just put some insulators like on the side of a tree, like electric fence insulators, and they'll put wire nuts in case a deer comes through there with antlers or something and knocks it down. You just got to go back and replace the wire nut. But I was amazed. I really was. I never owned one, or I couldn't have, but there was no place to put it in Kansas where I lived. But there's timber behind me, and you know, I can go out through that timber, and nobody ever comes up there anyways other than the varmints.
My memory's jogged now. I know what a beverage is. I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking it was doing some type of transmission, but I remember most shortwave listeners used them. That was might have been where I've heard about them from years and years ago for me. But I guess the noise floor is real low on them too.
Dealing with microvolts, that's for sure. I just couldn't imagine a piece of electric fence wire helping out. But what you do is you have to run, like for my radio, I run RG6 down to that junction box that's on the south end, and that's where it comes back up to the radio, and I just got it strung along my neighbor's chain link fence, and then the wire goes up, and most of it's on our land, but some of it goes out over on the neighbors, and my 160 meter antenna goes over four different yards here, but you don't even see it. It's way, way out back, and they were gracious enough to let me do it. For some reason, they liked me, and I don't understand that. I think it's Bernice's cooking.
It's nothing to do with it, but you were running that with a Kenwood, so it's got a connection in the back. It's got a receive-only connection in the back for that type of antenna. It just switches when you go from transmit to receive.
The TS-590SG has one. Now, the 590S didn't. But I ran it with that, and I forget how. I'm not a technical expert there. You'd have to ask Bill or somebody like that, but I'm pretty sure he runs the beverage, but you got to have something to do it with. I forget. But the SG made it easier because it had a port. It's just it's like you plug in the back of a scanner, an RCA type thing, you know, with a pin sticking out of it. And then you just select RX antenna on the front of this TS-590SG. And those radios are good. They're the secondary receiver in Kenwood's TS-990S. They're high-end $6,000 radio. They're the secondary receiver in the 990.
A nice rig still, even though it's been out there for a while. It's got, it reminds me of a regular radio rather than an SDR. But this, you know, I always felt like Kenwood had built some mighty good rigs over the years, especially for HF. They were always, they had a 520, I think, and had a 140 at one time, which is a solid state rig, but it was a nice rig. That thing was tiny compared to the power supply was a lot bigger than the radio was. It almost looked like, I know you've seen one. You may even have one or had one at one time, but those were good little radios. That was probably one of my favorite of the solid state rigs that I used.
This is N0TR. Yeah, Jerry, I had a TS-140 for 19 years, and I sold it to a fella that works at the Catholic radio station down here that's the engineer. And he'd had one for many years, and he wanted this one so that he could run it as a mobile. And I never had an amplifier, couldn't afford an amplifier. And so I ran 100 watts, but gee, I worked everything in the world there on that thing, including Heard Island, which is kind of rare. But I wasn't that much into DX back then, but if I'd hear them, I'd work them. And it was a great radio. Now, I had bought I think it's a 250 hertz CW filter or something. That cost me. That was a stretch. But I put the narrow band filter in it, and that made a big difference. It really did.
I think I had the 120. The 120 was probably the first one that was the same size, I believe, as the 140. I think I had the 120 because it was one of the first solid state Kenwood rigs, I think. And it was a mobile size rig, but I remember it did have a big square looking power supply, about half the size of a shoebox, I think. But I had one of those, and I don't remember putting a filter in mine. I know it had ceramic filters in, but I don't think it had a mechanical filter like a Collins or anything like that. Not available for it, I guess, or if it did, I didn't put it in. I think I had the 120, though, but it was not just a nice, simple-looking radio, and the audio was always real good on those rigs. I always felt like Kenwood had probably as good or better audio than any of the big three.
And I got compliments, and my voice is bad for radio, but I got compliments on that all the time about the Kenwoods having the best audio, and I've heard recordings of myself on there, and they've always done a good job. I have a microphone that I got off of, we shut a plant down when I was working at this machine shop for 32 years, and we shut down the structural shop and moved it up to where I had to take care of it, and there was a PA system there. And I have this microphone off of that PA system that my boss gave me. And I've used it for 27 years, I guess, Jerry. And I never have hardly ever used the hand mic since. In fact, I've got several. And I have an extra. I have a TS-590S, and it's a wonderful radio. I need to plug it in. I plug it in and run it for about an hour, once a month or once every couple months, just to keep the caps good. And I'd probably sell it if somebody come along at a good price. I've thought about it, but anytime you sell something like that, I give over $1,500 for this SG model, and I think I give about $1,300 for it. And anytime sell something like that, you're going to lose half, and it kind of stings because I only used that one for about a year and the SG come out, but I'd love to have one of those new 890S's, but they're $3,000. I don't see the need of it, even though the specs on it are great. But I got a band scope on this, on a 27-inch screen. I never had that in my life. And, Jiminy, you can just cherry pick, It's really a nice rig.
One of the things that I really enjoyed about when I got started in ham radio back in the late 70s, early 80s, Kenwood was making audio equipment like stereo equipment in those days. And their stereo equipment was always it was some of the best. It was like Marantz quality back when they had Marantz, was still putting tubes in it. Kenwood was really, really good stuff. You didn't find it in just any, box store or anything like that. You found that in specialty stereo stores. And it always had a really, really good sound. And I was surprised. I think they're still in the car radio business. And I think they still do that, but they got out of the home audio business years ago, I guess. But they also, back around Christmas time, they just, Kenwood discontinued both of their dual band handhelds. And I'm not sure what's behind that, because one of them was that D-74A, which was at all, had, you know, had single side, had all kind of receiving modes. It did D-Star, and had 220 on it, and it had APRS. I mean, it was probably the top of the handheld of anybody, for that matter. Better than anybody else. It had more features on it, had color screen. But, you know, Kenwood's always had a great reputation over the years. They don't change models very often, though. That's one thing I noticed.
And I've had quite a few Kenwoods as far as, you know, 2-meter 440 radios and regular, I think a TM-261, I had two of those. And they were just 2 meters. But I always enjoyed. This is an old ICOM 208, and I got one upstairs that I talk to you on at times, and I like it. But yes, I have one of the Kenwood radios in my truck, and I really like it. It's good, and I got satellite radio on it, and you can. If you drew them down some, you can get that now for, $80 a year. And we like 50s on 5 and 60s on 6 and stuff like that. And classical and some of the bluegrass and things like that. And it's even got the news networks on it, so it's worth that. But every time they try to renew it and charge me a couple $100, I tell them to cancel it. And then they start talking to you. I think the last time it was $79. But, I was going to say something about Bill there, and I can't think of what it was. We was talking about, Bill says in 4IQ, he said one time, if I'm quoting him right, that Kenwood's biggest problem is they need to go to an SDR radio like everybody else is migrating to. And they still haven't, but they still make wonderful radios. He likes that 890. That my buddy up in Oklahoma just bought one of those, and the specs on them are tremendous. But I'm not an engineer, and the technicalities are beyond me, but they're not beyond Bill. He can tell you that right down to the decibel. So when he speaks, it's kind of like E.F. Hutton. You want to listen.
Run VHF, UHF. I usually in the past run ICOM, all ICOM stuff. And I've had ICOM base, all mode VHF, UHF rigs. And of course, I got that 9700 on the way. That's kind of been a little bit of overkill, but I do like to work satellite stuff. And it's got the spectrum display and the whole deal on it. And plus, it does auto Doppler shift tracking when the satellites are, when the frequencies are changing, the satellites come over. It kind of makes it a little bit easier. And, but I've got one of those on the way. But I think if I got an HF rig, I think I'd probably go with a Kenwood unless I got a real good deal on a, like an ICOM 7300 or something like that. But I'm not up to doing HF right now. I may change my mind this summer when the weather warms up. But I have a lot of fun over here. I'm just repeaters and VHF, UHF on the satellites. And plus, it's also got 1.2 gigahertz, which is something unusual. But one of these days, you're going to see more satellite stuff use that to 1.2 is probably the downlink or an uplink more so than they do now, just because it's, I think I can only get 10 watts out of that one on 1.2, but it just doesn't take much, and the antennas are, you got to have about 20 elements, but the antennas aren't for about 4 feet long, or so. They're tiny antennas to get any gain out of them to mount anything.
Cook hot dogs on the end of that Yagi, I imagine, at 10 watts. Well, it should propagate a lot more, Jerry, because they're launching these satellites now, and they split out into like 80 different cube satellites or something like that. And I know they really are making them much smaller with the surface mount technology and all of that. And so you're right, it should it should blossom. Well, Jerry, I got to go. I just heard your melodious voice ID on there and wanted to come back to you. Bernice's got that up there waiting on me. I got to come back down and program a game camera here and check the batteries in it. I enjoy feeding the wildlife, and I got the birds fed out here out back and put them out, Milo and corn and sunflower seeds, and give the chickens some. And then we walked down there and measured that antenna just to write it down. I got to do that yet. And I want to go up there and have some cottage cheese and peaches, or cottage cheese and peppers, whatever she's mixing in with it. And then I'll take the lawnmower and run this camera back down and mount it. And I got another camera I'm going to put on the birds here. This is N0TR. I can't wait for you to be able to come out here someday and enjoy it. And maybe we can go down and pop some caps and walk down there and look at my antennas. And by the way, I think Bill, last time I knew, he had about 14 antennas down there. Looks like a war room. I don't need that many here, and I enjoy just cherry-picking what I want to. The last few nights, there hadn't been zip on HF that I seen, but I don't stay up real late and try to work 160 and all that. And 160, a friend of mine, NY4G, said, Tom, I spent a lot of sleepless nights getting DXCC on 160. That's how you get it. I'm not willing to put out that much effort. And I'm not going to get up that early in the morning unless it's something very, very special. And they're hard to pick out. They're hard to hear. But we'll get them eventually. And I don't know. There's the glory of it. It doesn't interest me. I just like the challenge of picking them off. Jerry, you have a good afternoon, and look forward to seeing you someday, 73s, and I'll sign with your final. That's N0TR.
Hey, Tom, NT7J, how long was the beverage?
Hi, Mr. Bob. It was 285 feet. That ought to be a good one, hadn't it, even for 160?
No. You need 500-600 feet for 160. Your beverage is just long enough to probably be okay on 80 and 40, but 160, you need to get it up over 500. Didn't want to interrupt, just wondered how long it was. ND7J.
Oh, I'm glad you jumped in there. We was talking about you earlier. Your ears are burning. And I was telling Jerry that you was the one to come down and was the manager on putting this one up. And maybe in the spring, Bob, but before the poison ivy comes out, I might do that. But I was telling Bernice that you were exactly right, that it wasn't the greatest thing on 160, but it does help a little. But its ideal, when we put it up, was for 40 and some 80, but it's not even that great on 80, you know, if you get down to the scientific links and all that on it. But I'll tell you what, it works fine on 80. And it does help on 160, Bob. Over.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You will see a large, noticeable improvement if you get it up to 500 or 600 feet.
I can do that. You know, I was telling him about putting the wire nuts on it, and I can run it out through the timber. It's not that bad to go out through there right now. But I don't suspect this 59-degree weather is going to be with us for very long. And I'm not a youngster like you anymore.
Well, we already talked about that this morning, so we'll leave that at that. But, yeah, you know, if you could keep it about 3 feet off the ground, put some wire nuts every 100 feet or so, you know, you'll know if it's not working. As soon as you switch over to it, you'll know. And just walk the line and find out where it's broke and wire nut it back together. That's what I did on mine. So anyway, I think you're talking to Jerry. Go ahead, Jerry.
Bob, you have a good afternoon to you. Tom, you have a great afternoon. Have a good birthday. It was great talking to you again. And you jog my memory on the beverage. I don't know why I thought you could transmit on one. That's just what happens when the sales, like Pro says, when the old gray sales aren't working so good. You guys have a good afternoon, and we'll talk to you a little bit later. And, Tom, you're the only person that's ever told me I had a melodious voice. My wife has never said that. Take it easy. TR, and I believe that Bob is in ND7J. You guys have a great afternoon, N4DJC Clear.
You do the same. Over to you, Tom.
Okay, Jerry. Yeah, nice talking to you. He's November Delta 7 Japan. And I have a hard time not saying Juliet. I was trained in the Navy. And I revert back to the old things. But I even catch myself doing that with Tango Radio instead of Romeo. But yeah, Bob, I might do that. That's you made it more enticing now. And I just hate pulling that up and moving it. But I'll keep it up at least 6 feet or so, because I have deer come down through there every night. I see them on the game camera, and there are a few bucks with racks on them, Bob.
Yeah, if you go 6 feet, you'll still be fine. It might be a little bit noisier, slightly, but I guarantee you, if you don't even got to pull that ground rod if you don't want to, just get you another 2 or 3 foot of ground rod and just add on, just take that whole box thing, add on 300 feet of wire. I guarantee you will see huge difference. It'll be huge.
You have room for one like that up there, and I wouldn't even consider pulling that ground rod. No, I got another ground rod. That's not a problem.
Now, I used to have room, but I don't any longer. But my receive array in the front and my K9 AY seem to be doing pretty good. I've often thought about talking to the neighbors, but I'd have to talk to several of them to be able to get, I want at least 500 feet. To tell you the truth, I 300 feet. I've got antennas that will work as good as that one at 300 feet. So I'm going to try and improve. 500-600 feet would be what I want. I'm working on a new project. I've got a 3-element 6-meter beam up right now, and I'm going to add a second one, stack them, one at 30 feet, one at 42 feet, and see how I can do on 6 meters in the spring. Tom, I have arrived at Ingalls, and I want to get in, and I want to get out, because I want to get home, and I want to get a shower and relax. It is Friday, so we'll catch you later on. We'll see you later, and once again, happy birthday. You have a good one. ND7J.
Okay, Bob, take care, and thanks for the info. I appreciate it. Always great to hear you. ND7J and 0TR's clear, and QRT.